Topic 143, Relinquishing. 1. The soul must relinquish the personality. For ages the soul has identified itself with the lower personal self, and through the agency of that lower self has gained experience and acquired much knowledge. The time has come when that agency is no longer dear to the soul, and their respective positions are reversed. No longer is the soul identified with the personality, but the personality becomes identified with the soul and loses its separate quality and position. All that has been acquired through age-long struggle and strife, through pain and pleasure, through disaster and satisfied desire, and all that the wheel of life, which has turned without ceasing, has brought into the possession of the soul, all has to be relinquished. Life for the disciple becomes then a series of detaching processes until he has learned the lesson of renunciation. The soul has also most definitely to relinquish its tie with other personal selves. It must learn to know and to meet other people only on the plane of the soul. In this lies for many a disciple a hard lesson. They may care little for themselves, and may have learned much personal detachment. Little may they cherish the gain of contact with the lower personal self. They are learning to transcend all that, and may have transcended to a great degree, but their love for their children, their family, their friends, and intimates is for them of supreme importance, and that love holds them prisoners in the lower worlds. They do not stop to recognize that their love is primarily love for the personalities and only secondary for the souls. Upon this rock many disciples are for lives broken, until the time comes when through pain and suffering and the constant losing of that which they so much cherish, their love enters into a new, a higher, and truer phase. They rise above the personal and find again, after felt loss and suffering, those whom now they love as souls. Then they realize that there has been gain and not loss, and that only that which was illusory, ephemeral, and untrue has disappeared. The real man has been gained and can never be lost again. This is most frequently the problem of parents who are upon the path of discipleship, and it is through their children that the lesson is learned, which can release them for initiation. They hold their children to them, and this, being counter to the law of nature, works out disastrously. It is the height of selfishness. And yet, did they but know and see aright, they would realize that to hold, one must detach, and to keep, one must release. Such is the law. The soul has also to learn to relinquish the fruits or gains of service, and learn to serve without attachment to results, to means, to persons, or to praise. The soul has to relinquish also the sense of responsibility for that which other disciples may do. The relation between disciples is egoic and not personal. The link is of the soul and not of the mind. Each personality pursues its own course, must shoulder its own responsibilities, work out its own dharma, and fulfill its own karma, and so answer for itself to its Lord and Master, the soul. An answer there will be. The establishing of an inner contact and relationship with other servers, based on a realized oneness of purpose and soul love, is magnificently possible, and for this all disciples must struggle and strive. On the outer plane, owing to the separative mind during this age and time, a complete accord on detail, on method, and on interpretation of principles is not possible. But the inner relationships and cooperation must be established and developed, in spite of the outer divergences of opinion. When the inner link is held in love, And when disciples relinquish the sense of authority over each other and of responsibility for each other's activities, and at the same time stand shoulder to shoulder in the one work, then the differences, the divergences, and the points of disagreement will automatically be overcome. There are three rules which are important to disciples at this time. 1. Relinquish or sacrifice the age-old tendency to criticize and adjust another's work, and thus preserve the inner group integrity. More plans for service have gone astray, and more workers have been hindered by criticism than by any other major factor. 2. Relinquish or sacrifice the sense of responsibility for the actions of others, and particularly of disciples. See that your own activity measures up to theirs, and in the joy of struggle and on the way of service, the differences will disappear and the general good will be achieved. 3. Relinquish the pride of mind, which sees its way and its interpretations to be correct and true, and others false and wrong. This is the way of separation. Adhere to the way of integration, which is of the soul and not of the mind. These are hard sayings, but they are the rules by which the teachers on the inner side guide their actions and their thoughts when working with each other and with their disciples. The inner integrity is necessarily a proven fact to them. To the disciple, it is not. But to the inner teachers, the outer differences are abhorrent. They leave each other free to serve the plan. They train their disciples, no matter what their degree, to serve the plan with freedom, for in freedom and in the sense of joy and in the strength of inner cooperative love is the best work done. It is sincerity for which they look, the willingness to sacrifice the lesser when the greater is sensed, is that for which they search. The spontaneous relinquishing of long-held ideals when a greater and more inclusive presents itself is their guide. The sacrifice of pride and the sacrifice of personality when the vastness of the work and the urgency of the need are realized sway them to cooperation. It is essential that the disciples shall learn to sacrifice the non-essential in order that the work may go forward. Little as one may realize it, the many techniques and methods and ways are secondary to the major world need. There are many ways and many points of view, and many experiments and many efforts, abortive or successful, and all of them come and go. But humanity remains. All of them are in evidence of the multiplicity of minds and of experiences, but the goal remains. Difference is ever of the personality. When this law of sacrifice governs the mind, it will inevitably lead all disciples to relinquish the personal in favor of the universal and of the soul that knows no separation, no difference. Then no pride, nor a short and myopic perspective, nor love of interference so dear to many people, nor misunderstanding of motive will hinder their cooperation with each other as disciples, nor their service to the world. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, pages 104 through 109. 2. The great renunciation becomes possible only when the practice of the little renunciations governs the life of a disciple and a group. The renouncing of ambition, of all personality ties, and the renunciation of all that hinders progress, as it is revealed to the eye of the soul, lays a sound foundation for the final great transference, based upon the renunciation of that which for eons has connoted beauty, truth, and goodness, and which has seemed the ultimate goal of all aspirational effort. The endeavor to see that which lies ahead and beyond the apparent finality of soul fusion faces disciples, among them some of you, at this time, and that all of you may penetrate beyond the veil of the soul and eventually see that veil rent from the top to the bottom, and thus be enabled to say with those of like degree, "It is finished," is my earnest hope. Then will open for you, as for others, the way of the higher evolution, and the glory of the Lord will be seen in a new light, the light which will dim and throw into shade all previous goals and visions. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays in the Initiations, page 224.